So John chapter 8 this morning, the book of John chapter 8, this morning I want to share with you verses 31 through 36. Last week we talked about Christ and the idea of reconciliation. We learned how that Christ reconciled us through the cross, how that He completely changed us. He didn't just forgive us, but brought us back into a relationship with a holy and a righteous God by the giving of His life on the cross. So we learned that in Christ we're reconciled. But this morning I want to share with you how that through Christ we're not only reconciled, but we're also redeemed. Anybody know what that word means, redeemed? It's probably a term we don't use a lot today, but I want to tell you that in the context of today's message, the word redeemed is an important one. How many of you were old enough to have collected glass bottles when you were growing up? Anybody remember the phrase that you would see on some of those bottles? Redeemed for a nickel, right? Most of the time. You know, I don't think maybe anybody in here is old enough to remember redeemed for a penny or anything like that, but redeemed for a nickel. And you'd collect those bottles up and you'd turn them in, and what would they give you? They'd give you a nickel for every bottle that you found. You would find that bottle that you would collect up and you would take it and you would turn it over and you would redeem it for the cash value. Well, Christ, in a bigger picture, in a bigger sense, has redeemed us, finding what was lost. And if you look up the definition of redeem or redemption, it literally means just that. It means to find and reclaim something that is lost. And that's what we see that Christ has done for us, truly redeeming us, setting us free. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. I'd ask if you would stand with us as we give honor and reverence to the reading of His Word. John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 31, it says it this way. So Jesus says to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the gift and the blessing of today. Lord, we thank You for the gift of life. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You reconcile us, but also You have redeemed us, Lord. You have taken something that was lost and You have found it. Lord, You've taken something that was lost and You set it free. Lord, Father, I just pray that we rejoice in our freedom that we have in You. That we would see that You paid the ultimate price for us. That if we believe and trust in You, that we wouldn't have to be a slave to sin anymore. Father, Lord, I pray that this morning if there's somebody here who's never known You, never accepted You, never invited You into their heart and their life, then Lord, I pray before it's everlasting too late that they would come and trust in You, that they give their life to You today and be saved. Lord, I pray likewise, maybe there's a believer or a follower here amongst us, Lord, who just struggles in their walk. They struggle in their relationship with You. Well, Lord, Father, I pray and I uplift them, Lord. I ask that You touch their heart this morning in such a way that they can see that they are free indeed through You. Lord, that You would give them the strength to be an overcomer, Lord. That You would give them the strength to keep on keeping on. Lord, Father, I pray that this morning You use me as nothing more than a mouthpiece and as a tool. Lord, Father, I pray that You but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. Lord, Father, we just give You all the honor and the glory and the credit this morning. Father, we uplift our church as we go into this new year. Lord, we pray that You'd make us a strong group of believers. Lord, and we'll give You all the honor and the glory and the credit that's due under Your name. Lord, teach us about our redemption this morning. It's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen. The idea of redemption, the finding of something that was lost and redeeming it. The idea of finding something that was enslaved and setting it free. Christ is illustrating here in the verses that we read exactly that. He's telling the people as they listen, he says, if you become my disciples, if you become a follower of me, then truly if you follow my words, they will set you free because what I offer is freedom. You see, we're redeemed in Christ Jesus. We're not the same old that we used to be. We've become something entirely new. And we learned about that last week as we talked about reconciliation. Paul said to the church of Corinth, he said, we become that new creature. We become that new creation. We become something entirely different. And that's what redemption is all about. Christ gives us that redemption. He frees us. He finds us. He reconciles. And it's a beautiful thing to think that Christ loved us so much that He desired to redeem us and to reconcile us, to have a beautiful relationship with Him once again. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, warned against becoming slaves. He said, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So Christ goes through these verses sharing with us how that we're free. And He told the brethren, He says, you are free if you become my disciples, and my word is the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And here Paul warns the church of Colossae and others. He says, don't become captives to philosophy. Don't become captives to worldly traditions. Don't become captives yet again to sin because you've already been set free. I think we find ourselves in that position a lot as we go through our walk. It seems that we want to turn back to the old ways. It seems we turn back to the old lifestyle. We turn back to things that we know that we shouldn't do. And Paul warns us against that. He says, don't find yourself captive to these things. Don't be a slave. How is it that Christ was able to free us? How is it that Christ was able to redeem us? The first thing that I want you to see and know this morning is we are redeemed because Christ made a personal investment for it. Christ made a personal investment for our redemption. When you were growing up, maybe it was your first car, or maybe it was even before then, maybe you were younger, maybe you wanted something, and you went to your parents and you asked them for it, and your mom and dad, instead of giving it to you, they told you that you had to work for it. And maybe they gave you a job, or they encouraged you to get a job, and you got that job, and you worked, and you raised your own money, and you were able to obtain what it is that you wanted. Anybody ever done that? I hope that you have. And as a mom or a dad, I can tell you one of the best things that you can do for your children in helping raise them into being good, godly men and women is to teach them the importance of working for what they want. And I can tell you that I had that experience growing up where my parents told me that I was going to go to work, and they told me that I was going to get a job, and they taught me the importance of working and having that job and investing money in appropriate things and in order to have what it is that I needed and in order to have what I wanted. But can you remember how it felt when you worked up and you saved that money and you were able to get what you needed or what you wanted? How did you feel when you obtained it? You felt like you really accomplished something, did you not? Because you got the job, you saved the money, you worked hard for it, and now it's yours. And maybe you can relate to a time in your life where you've been given something. It's just been given over to you. And rather than working for it and investing the time, the money, and the effort, you just had it presented to you. Do you have the same amount of love and affection? Do you have the same amount of respect for something that's just been given to you versus something that you had to work hard for? I think most of us know what that's like. I think most of us can honestly say it's the things that we work for the hardest that we tend to see as being the most important to us. The things that we work for the hardest we have maybe the most respect for because we earned it, because we made a personal investment. You see, Christ Jesus made a personal investment in redeeming us. Christ Jesus literally gave of Himself that we might be redeemed. Paul, writing in the book of Titus chapter 2, verse 14, he says it this way, He who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. There's a lot in here. We see that Christ Jesus gave of Himself to redeem us. If you look up the Greek translation of that word to redeem, it means of freedom. Literally, it means of freedom. So if you plug that word in there, Christ who gave of Himself for freedom of us from all lawlessness. So He comes to free us from a sinful nature. He comes to free us from the desires of sin in the flesh. But not only that, He doesn't come just to redeem us and to set us free of that sin, but He comes to also to purify us for a purpose so that we as His people can be His possession and ultimately so we can be His disciples. As it says here, we become zealous to do good works. Christ made a personal investment to redeem us. Christ desiring us to be His possession. Christ desiring us to be His disciples. Christ desiring to take us out of that sinful nature and to purify us and to make us something new. He gave of Himself. He didn't just send somebody to be in His stead. He didn't send somebody else. He didn't ask them to do the work. Christ made the personal investment. You think about that. How much does it mean to you when somebody sends you a card and they write a personal note on it? Versus the somebody that sends you a card and never says anything but the little words that Hallmark puts in the card, right? Now you might be guilty of that. Maybe you're not the best with words. But I can tell you that it really means something if somebody takes the time to pen you a personal note in a card or write you a letter or to let you know, hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. Making that personal investment really does mean something. And Christ showed how important we were to Him by making that personal investment. Paul continued on and said in another verse of Scripture in the book of Philippians chapter 2, Paul writing to the church of Philippi said it this way, Philippians chapter 2 verses 6, 7, and 8, speaking of Christ and His giving to redeem us, he said, He who thought He was in the form of God did not count equality with God to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking upon the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Last week when we talked about reconciliation, we talked a little bit about the significance and the symbolism of what it meant that Christ would give His life on the cross. We learned and we read in some Old Testament verses of Scripture how that the death on the cross was considered to be the death of an accursed man. So we learned how that Christ, who was the precious, holy, righteous, perfect Son of God, came and gave of Himself to die for us. Now, He didn't die just any death, but according to the Old Testament, He died an accursed death for you and I. He who knew no sin literally became sin for our sake, as we learned last week. And Paul continues on, and he reiterates this once again, how that Christ, even though He was equal to be with God, did not account Himself to be in such a fashion, and was willing to come and present Himself into the form of man, in the likeness of man, in order that He might become sin for you and I and to die an accursed death. Think about the personal investment in that. Christ who was with God from the beginning, Christ who was holy, Christ who has always been in the presence and the existence of His heavenly Father, humbled Himself to come into the form of man and then to give of His life in an accursed death, so that you and I might be redeemed. So that you and I might be found. So that you and I might be set free. Think of the investment. Think about what Christ gave so that you and I might be redeemed. We are redeemed because Christ made the personal investment for it. But the second thing I want you to see this morning and know about our redemption is this. Is as Christ also made the personal investment, He also paid the ultimate price. for our redemption. We've already said and mentioned that He gave of Himself freely. We've said that He died an accursed death, that He took upon Himself, who knew no sin, to be the sin of man and the sin of the world. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we see these words of Christ. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Think about that. Christ came and gave His life as a ransom for many. Literally, He came, if you look up the translation of these verses here to the Greek, He's trying to tell the church, He says, "I come and I give Myself, My life, as a ransom for your freedom." He's saying, "I come in order that you might be free." And He came with the heart of a servant, desiring not to be served Himself, but to give of His life as a ransom. Everybody knows what a ransom is, right? You've seen it in the movies. Somebody gets kidnapped, and what happens? Somebody calls up, and they want a ransom. "I'll give you back so-and-so for $1 million. I don't know anybody that would give $1 million for me. That's probably a high ransom to pay. But you all know the concept I'm talking about. Well, Christ says, "I come to be your ransom. I come to pay the penalty. I come to pay the price." You see, Christ did more than just talk a good game. In the world today, in society today, we as human beings, a lot of times we talk a really good game. You know what I'm talking about, I hope. And you understand that phrase. We talk a really good game. We talk about how we want to be invested. We talk about how that we want to give. We talk about how we want to be involved. But when it comes down to truly paying over the price, when it comes down to truly being involved, that seems like it's where we fall short. But Christ was more than just invested to the point of saying. Christ was invested to the point of doing. And He says here, "I come and I give My life as a ransom for many." The Word of God tells us that He comes and He gives His life as a ransom for any who will believe and who will trust in Him and give their lives to Him. The Word of God says that He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins. So He comes and He gives His life as a ransom that if we believe and that we trust in Him, we might have freedom. That we might be found. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter wrote in his verse of Scripture about how great the price that Christ paid for us was. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. Look here again how we see this word ransomed. He says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." I think it's important for us to see that Christ paid the ultimate price by great means, and He paid with great things. Amen? Paid with His life. When we talk about a ransom, you think about the old concept of what a ransom might be for somebody. Seems like they always want that material possession, right? Thousands or millions of dollars or gold or whatever. Here, Christ says, "I came and I gave My life." And Peter explains it by saying that we were ransomed not by things that perish, such as silver or gold. Peter explains to us and says that you have been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ, who was like a lamb without any blemish or without any spot. What better way to set free mankind than by a perfect sacrifice? What good is silver and gold? Those things corrupt. And one day when the world's on fire, as it says, as Peter gives us an example in other verses of Scripture, he says one day when the world's on fire, all of these things will burn because they're corruptible. Those things don't matter. But what matters is that Christ was a holy, spotless, perfect Lamb who came to ransom His life with something that really mattered. Not silver, not gold, not anything that is corruptible, not anything that can ever perish, but something that was perfect. Perfect. I think about the story of the Passover. If you remember the Old Testament story of the Passover and what was taking place, you know, Moses goes to the Pharaoh and he says, you know, God says you need to let my people go free. And of course, Pharaoh says no. And you know, God sends forth the plagues and their resistance to all of those things. And finally, it comes about to the point where God is going to take the firstborn of every home in Egypt. And if you remember what God did for His people, He told them to take a lamb, a perfect lamb, a lamb that was without blemish, to sacrifice it and to take its blood and to put it on the newel post and the side post of their home. And when that death angel came, he passed over all of those homes that had been obedient and put forth the sacrifice of that spotless lamb on the doorpost and on the newel post. Why? Because they were obedient. Because it was a representation of God giving forth His blood. It was a symbolism of something that was to come. Amen? And truly Christ came and He gave of Himself, gave of His own life, invested something great, and paid an ultimate price with a great thing, His own life. Christ makes redemption possible because of the personal investment. He makes redemption possible because of the price that He paid for it. But how do we live in redemption? How do we live as redeemed people? You know, you think it'd be easy, right? I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I've been found. I've been set free. It must be easy, right? Well, that's why Paul, in that verse of Scripture that I referenced to you earlier, warned us about being taken captive. You see, it's not so easy to live a redeemed life because we live in a fallen world, because we're human, because we sin, because we're filled with a sin nature still yet, even though we're saved, we're just sinners saved by the grace of God. I want you to know that when you look at me, that's what you see, is a sinner saved by the grace of God. Nothing more, nothing less. I am a human being. I fall, I fail. I don't always do the things that I want to do, even though I want to do them. Even though I want to do good, even though I want to do good things for God, I don't always do the things that I want to do. And Paul told that struggle himself. He says, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things I do not want to do, I do. I don't know about any of you all, but I can relate. Living a redeemed life isn't as easy as we make it out to be. It's a process of sanctification. It's a process of Christ working in our lives day in and day out. But how do you make the best of a redeemed life? The first thing I want to share with you is this. If you want to live a truly redeemed life in Christ because He paid the price and because He made the investment, you need to recognize your worth. What do I mean by that? Your worth is this. That Christ cared enough about you, loved you enough, wanted you to be His enough, that He made that personal investment, and He personally paid the ultimate price, giving of His life that we might go free. Now you let that sink in. Christ loved and cared for you enough, wanted you to be His enough, that He didn't send a stand-in. He didn't put somebody else on the cross. He came and He gave of His own life, willingly dying for you and me. Think about that. Think about how loved you are. Think about how much God wanted you to be His, that He gave of His only begotten Son, and He was willing to follow the will of the Father and die for you and I. We are worth so much to God that He gave His Son, and we're worth so much to Christ that He willingly and freely gave of His life. Think about that. Why should we make the best of living a redeemed life? Because we're worth it. We're worth it. I can promise you there are days in my life where I feel so not worth it. I feel so not qualified. I feel so terrible. Because I fail, because I fall short, because I don't live up to what I know that I should be or what God wants me to be. But we have to remember that we were worth it enough that God gave of His Son and Christ gave of His life. And know this, it's not because of who you are or what you've done. It's not of any of those things. But it's simply because Christ loved you, because God loved you, and He wants us to be in relationship with Him. For Him, we were worth it. Amen? We were worth it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. To put it into perspective, Paul said it this way to the church of Galatia. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. You see, in living a redeemed life, we have to remember it's not about us anymore. We were worth it, so much so that God gave His Son and He died for us. But there's a purpose to all that. It wasn't just so that we would be His possession alone, but I believe with all my heart is so that we would truly be His disciples, that we would be His followers. Amen? We can live a redeemed life by recognizing that to God, we were worth it. But the second thing I want you to know before we get ready to close is this. As much as we should recognize the worth that God saw in us, I believe we also have to make this determination that we would live as slaves to God. Paul, in these verses here that we just read, he says, it is not I who lives anymore, but it is Christ who lives in me. Paul says, I resign my life and I turn it over to Him. In other verses of Scripture, Paul says, I become as a living sacrifice, laying myself on the altar daily. It's difficult. And it's hard and it's not easy, and I would never tell you that it is. But if we really want to live a redeemed life, we need to see how great and worth we were to God and the price that He paid and was willing to give. But we also need to make a determination that we're going to live rather as slaves to the world. We're going to live as slaves to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, he says it this way. He says, live as people who are free. Remember those verses of Scripture in John that we read? He says, the truth shall set you free. He says, I am the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Here, Peter encourages us to live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Peter says, live as a servant of God. Remember Christ in one of these verses of Scripture that we just read a minute ago? How that Christ came not to be served, but to serve. How that He became the servant. How that He literally became a slave that you and I might go free. Here Peter tells us, live as people who are free, not using that freedom for evil things, but rather living as servants of God. We're encouraged to be free. We're encouraged to live up to the redemption. Why? Because Christ made a mighty investment and He paid the ultimate price for it. I think it's worth living redeemed. Amen? As our praise and our worship team comes, maybe you're here this morning and you've never invited Christ into your heart. You've never experienced redemption. You truly don't know what it means to be redeemed. If you're here and you've never known Christ, and He's working on your heart and He's speaking in your life today, I would ask of you, I would encourage you to follow the direction of the Spirit. I would ask you to come forward this morning, give your heart and your life to Christ, turn it all over to Him. Be obedient to that call. Maybe you're here today and you know Christ, you have a relationship with Him, but the relationship is less than what you want it to be. The relationship is difficult, it's rocky. You've come to understand that living the redeemed life isn't as easy as you expected that it might would be. Remember, Christ called it cross-bearing. Just pick up your cross and follow me. If it were easy, He called it something else. Maybe you just need strength. Maybe you need leadership. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need guidance. Whatever you need this morning, I ask you to come. This altar is open to you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to share with you how that you might invite Christ into your heart. You ever been redeemed? Ever been reconciled? If not, you come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come now and we close out this time of preaching and teaching, Lord, we come now to a time of response. Lord, we pray if there's somebody here who has never known You, somebody who's never stepped out in faith to be redeemed, somebody who's never been saved, Lord, I pray with earnesty that they'll come and they'll give their heart and their life to You, that today they would be saved. Lord, Father, I pray maybe for the Christian who is here and struggling in their journey, struggling in that walk. Lord, maybe they need strength, maybe they need guidance, Lord, maybe they need comfort, whatever it is that they need, Lord, I pray that they will be obedient and they will come. May they find strength in the altar, but most of all, may they find strength in You. Lord, it's all this we humbly pray and ask in Your name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
And take a diamond, raise it up the line.